wanted the Lord. He really did. He was hungry for God. But somehow his faith just could not quite take hold of the Word. And I'd like to share with you how the Lord used Dad to help him get through the Holy Ghost. It hadn't been very long that we had a lady in our church, and very same thing. He'd prayed and prayed and prayed and hadn't prayed through. And so Dad told him one, he said, "I want to anoint you with oil." Oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. "When I anoint you with oil, I want you to believe that the Spirit of the Lord is going to touch you." And so he said, "All right." Of course, this was all through the missionary and doing the interpreting. He said, "Now, I don't want you to speak one word of Portuguese," which is their native language. He said, "I don't want you to speak one word of Portuguese. Don't speak anything till you feel like what you're going to speak is something other than your Portuguese language." So they began to pray and worship God, and he anointed him with oil. And for another couple of minutes, I suppose, he just stood there, hands up, mouth open, not saying a thing. And the Spirit of the Lord fell on him, and he began to worship the Lord and begin to speak in other tongues. Well, he didn't let the devil have a chance to talk him out of it. He turned him around to the congregation. And after the Spirit had lifted a little bit, then he said, "How many of you folks heard this man speak in tongues?" Of course, everybody raised their hand. Well, there wasn't no way the devil could talk him out of that, you know. And that's not bad psychology. We say we don't want to tell them they got it. But sometimes in our reluctance, the devil tells them they don't have it. And sometimes we pray folks through three or four times when we really wouldn't have to. But at any rate, I told you all of that to tell you this. On this song that you're going to hear, we were back in Manaus for one last service. And you can hear him above everybody else. And there was almost as many people in that service as there is in this service, in a building not even half the size of this building. They worship God. I'm telling you, you can feel it in the song. And we're going to sing it. After they've sung it a time or two, how many of you remember when you came to the cross? They're singing one of those old, starchy, denominal songs. At the cross, where I first saw the light. But brother, they let the stops out and they sing like the... And you can just feel it in this fella. You'll hear him. Hallelujah! Brother, it just vibrates everything. And I thought, God, help me to fall in love with the cross all over again. And help me to fall in love with this Holy Ghost experience like that fella did. We didn't talk the same language, but we talked the same language. Amen. I want you and me to sing that. I want us to fall in love with the cross one more time. Brother, if you will, start it. Musicians, if it's not lost something in translation, it's the key of G. We'll find out in a minute, won't we?
Where I turn all the light.
the burden on my heart. So great was there by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart. And now I am happy all the day. Oh, at the cross, where I live all my life, and the burden of my heart away. It was there by me, I received my sight, and now I am happy. One more time, at the cross, for I heard of life, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by me, I received my sight, and now I am happy. Oh, I feel like we need to sing it once more at the cross. At the cross where I heard of life, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the thing that is beautiful about the cross, it's not that old rough-hewn timber, because that really wasn't very pretty. And it wasn't the barren hillside with its other crosses, with its other stories. But there was a man that hung on that cross, and that made Calvary beautiful. Hallelujah. I don't know if we can really grasp it or not. Let me tell you something. God has blessed us, Brother Don has remarked about it, and I believe it. We are enjoying things unparalleled in any other society in our world tonight. We have a culture that's advanced beyond anything that any other people has ever been able to accomplish, and I believe that it is attributed directly to the fact that in the very foundation stones of our government, we built upon Judeo-Christianity convictions, Jewish Christian principles. Amen. And God has returned to America that blessing, and I thank God for it. Hallelujah. But it's not well in all parts of our world tonight. There's a cry. My mind is so full of so many things, and all of them need to be said. And I want you to pray with me now. God, help us to strike the right chord. I want us to leave this place in perfect harmony with the Holy Ghost, don't you? Would you pray with me in Jesus' name? I thank you, Lord. I thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the blood. I thank you for what the cross has meant in my life. And I thank you for what you've done in my home. And I thank you, God, that you've blessed my nation and that we can worship the way we're doing tonight. Now, Lord, help us to see beyond our borders, to lift up our eyes in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. There's a story in the Gospels that I'd like to remind you of. This is not my text, but I feel that it needs to be brought to our attention. Jesus said that a father had two sons. And he told one of them to go and to work. And he said, I will. And he never went. And he told the other to go and to work. And he said, I won't. But afterward, he changed and he went. And I would like to encourage you tonight not to just have a stir of your emotions momentarily, but let there be something deep and lasting come to you in what we're doing here. Praise God. It was in a missionary conference in my home church. Brother Dunn did not know this when he mentioned it a while ago. But it was in a missionary conference in my home church many years ago now that God first laid his hand on my heart to preach the gospel. I was raised in a missionary church. I'll always be missionary minded. And I thank God for that. I know there are those that talk about the work of the gospel here, and I know that we cannot forget that, because a strong foreign missions program must of necessity draw its strength from a strong home missionary base. And we cannot forget those that are right here at our doorsteps. But somehow we need to enlarge our borders and to lift up our eyes and to see something more than we have seen. Because there is a special place in the heart of God for those who are concerned about men who cannot help themselves. Hallelujah. It is human to give to the man that can give in return. People tend to respond and give again and so on. But there's something in the Spirit of God that's moved in our behalf when we remember the man that cannot do for himself, and he can never give anything back to you, but you give it just the same. Hallelujah. I would like to tell you that the key to the blessing of God upon your work for the Lord is to be concerned about the man that doesn't have and can't do and cannot give. Our missionaries, they cannot go to the foreign field and work on a job and be self-supporting. They are a visitor in that country. They have to depend upon you and me. And I would like to feel like that some things that we say tonight is going to cause us to become committed for life and to set some goals that we never break. I heard of a couple who I know, I did not know this about them. Minister that was telling me this was very trustworthy. He said, you know, the nights, and I said, yes. He said, for 25 years, they have faithfully given a missionary offering And they told me the name, and I would tell you, a friend of Brother Wiley's there in Topeka, Nayarit, Mexico, Brother and Sister Rivas, faithfully. I don't know the size of the offering. That's not the point. The point is that they've not forgotten their commitment. I want to read two verses of Scripture to you. One of them I heard, I think, Brother Shirley using at the beginning of the service. I had not come into the auditorium yet, but I believe I recognized his voice, but referred to John in the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. It's called the golden text of the Bible. You know it, and you can quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'd like to also go to the book of 1 John. And I'd like to read the 2nd chapter and the 1st and 2nd verse. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. I believe God meant to reach the whole world. Somebody said God so loved the world that He didn't send a committee. I'm glad He didn't. Hallelujah. Somebody else said God so loved the world that He never gave up. And I've also heard somebody just put it like this. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. The word that John used in his epistle of 1 John, the word that we read, propitiation, means to cause to become favorably inclined, to win or gain the goodwill of, to appease or conciliate. Our world is in direct opposition to God, not through their own choice, but because there is a prince of the power of the air that's at work, destroying everything that He can destroy. Jesus said that the thief cometh but for to kill, and to steal, and to destroy. I want to tell you that humanism is not going to get the job done. We're never going to lift ourselves out of the cesspool of sin and ungodliness and wickedness that we have gotten into. And when I say we, I'm talking about the human race. You're not going to see man and man's programs, sociology, psychology. There will never be a program that will come from the bureaucrats of the governments of the world that's going to solve the problems that we've got. They'd like for somebody to tell them what to do about the cocaine, about the LSD. They'd like for somebody to tell them what to do about the outbreak of herpes, of venereal disease that is rampant. They'd like for somebody to tell them how to combat the drunken driving and the alcoholism and all of the other things that is a plague and is swept across not just our country, not just our state, but friends, they are problems that are worldwide. I would like to tell you that this world does not have the answer to its needs. And if they're going to be helped, they're going to have to be helped by the Word of God. If we're going to see men helped, we're going to have to give them the gospel. You can give them rice for their stomach, but their soul will still be empty. You can give them commodities from the surplus grain bins of the world, but after you've given them that, they're still not going to know what to do to take care of the emptiness on the inside. That yearning and that craving and that longing. I want you to listen to this preacher tonight. God was reaching for the world when he sent his son to Calvary. Hallelujah. I'm glad that Louisiana, Brother Mayo, is the recipient of the grace of God. And I'd like to tell every one of you, lest Satan would cause you to look down your long, pious nose and be glad for where you are, that it was God's grace that brought you out of disgrace. I'd be the drunkard, Brother David, if it weren't for the grace of God. I'd be the drug addict tonight if it weren't for the grace of God. I'd be the one that would be bound with demon spirits that would drive me to fanatical action that I could not control if it weren't for the grace of God. There's no great skill in any of us, and there's no great ingenuity about us. It's the love of the Lord that we're sitting in an apostolic church tonight. It's the love of God that's let us feel what we felt. I thank God for it. But can I tell you, church, he was reaching for more than the regions around about us. He was reaching for the whole world when he was thinking of Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God, help us to feel it and help us to realize it tonight. He was reaching for the whole world. Behind the Iron Curtain, I don't know anything about that except what I've read. They tell me, on good authority, you don't gather like this there. If you do without proper permission and authority, you do it at the risk of imprisonment. I heard the report. I'd like to share just briefly, and I'm going to be relying upon the words of other men a great deal in some of what I've got to say to you tonight. I heard Brother Nathaniel Urshan speak about having visited the Siberian, it was Siberian 7, I believe it's Siberian 6 now, that are still there in the U.S. Embassy in Russia. And it was an interesting account, but while there, they went to a service at a Baptist church in Moscow. In that service, of course, their interpreter, the translator, was a KGB agent, an atheist, who called himself a reverend. And Brother Urshan refused to call him reverend. I admired his courage. That's a long way from home to get real bold with fellas like that. But he didn't let that intimidate him. But at the close of his message, there are many, many Pentecostals. Everybody comes together there. And at the close of his message, a young man up in the balcony cried out. And he turned to the interpreter and said, "What did he say?" And he said, "Oh, I don't know." He said, he's speaking in a dialect that I don't understand. And the person replied to him and said, "You're being rude. You know what he said. You need to tell me." He said, "All right, I'll tell you." He said, "Thanks for preaching the gospel with boldness." And he had no sooner said that than a woman down in the main part of the congregation began to speak out. And he said, "What's he saying?" And he wouldn't tell her. Wouldn't tell him. And then he turned and looked at him and said, "You know what she's doing." He said, I sure do. He said, would you like me to give you the translation? Speaking in tongues, giving a message in the Holy Ghost. They do it behind the Iron Curtain. They do it in the islands of the sea. Somebody's already said they act the same wherever they're at. When this Holy Ghost gets on them, they act the same. This multimedia presentation, you didn't wonder which ones of those people were getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. You knew they weren't of the same color of skin that we are, but you could tell by looking at their countenance, they're getting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that the Spirit of God is reaching for a whole entire world and not just a few people in the United States of America, if you please. My dad, who travels in missionary evangelism, was in communist countries 3 times last year. I've mentioned this to several, and it'll you've heard it before, but that's all right. One of the privileges of getting old is you get to tell your stories twice. All of you older folks, nod your head. I ain't going to ask you to say amen. But behind the bamboo curtain in China, you don't travel on a missionary tour. You don't go back there and preach. You travel in a tour group. And you look for a chance to slip someone a tract. You look for a chance to hand someone a Bible or a New Testament or maybe even just a page. You travel in a group. You don't break away from the group. They'd gone there, and there's a Brother Lee. Brother Lee is a convert of old Brother Wheeler. I don't know if any of you would have ever known Brother Wheeler or not. He's still living. He's in his 80s. He was a missionary in China before communist takeover back in the 30s and 40s. This man was a convert of Brother Wheeler's. He learned the English language. He spent 20 years in prison because he wouldn't give up his experience in God and deny that there was something to salvation. When he came out of prison, all of his family had been executed. He was the only living member of his family. There was a lady that was visiting there, and in her visit, someone turned to her in a large crowd and asked her in Chinese, are you a Christian? She didn't understand. Brother Lee happened to be standing there close by, and he spoke to the lady, said, this woman has asked you, are you a Christian? And she said, yes, I am. And so they conversed back and forth very low-keyed for a little while. And then she turned to Brother Lee and said, how is it that you speak English? And he told her. And then he told her of his missionary that had won him to the Lord many years before and said, would you please try to find Brother Wheeler when you return to the United States? And the woman agreed to, and months later, she was able to locate him living on the West Coast. And so contact was established behind the bamboo curtain of China one more time. And it was this Brother Lee that Dad and others went beyond the bamboo curtain to be with. And there in southern China, not too very far across the red border from Hong Kong, they met and they were able to visit some. Brother Lee is teaching English classes. And though you cannot own a Bible for religious purposes, he is using the King James Version of the Bible to teach English. And you see, God blinds men's minds so that the gospel can be furthered. And where they would not let them use the Bible in a church, and where they would not even let them have a church, there was a church, one church that would seat about 1,000. It's a heavy equipment garage now, and another one seat about 600, and it's a warehouse and so on. But God still has His way of working. And so behind that bamboo curtain, the Bible is being taught. And Brother Lee had several that he was teaching them the plan of salvation. teaching them English and teaching them Acts 2:38, how to be saved. None of them had received the Holy Ghost, and when Dad arrived, they were trying to find a place where they could pray, and you absolutely could not find a place. One of the men that was really seeking God, he was a taxi driver. There's nobody that owns vehicles in China except the government. The only vehicles allowed are bicycles and maybe very small motorbikes, but cars and trucks and all belong to the government. But this man drove a taxi owned by the government. So he was able to take them around in his taxi, and they wound around and around and around, and finally way up on a mountain, small mountain area, what we would probably call a roadside park. They finally thought they were alone, and so they got out and they began to talk to the man a little bit, and then in just a little while, they began to tell him, hallelujah is a universal praise word. And it's one of the greatest ways in the world for the Spirit of God to come and touch you. And they said, just begin to worship the Lord with the praise of hallelujah, hallelujah, hallalelujah. Of course, it wasn't just a moment or two that he began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. Brother, when you're not going to get to go back to church tomorrow night, and the evangelist is not going to get to preach to you another time, and you may never have anybody to pray with you, but once you get everything pushed out of the way, you get down to business real quick. And he prayed through the Holy Ghost. But as it is in the government of that time, before they could even get through with that, there were two men that appeared out of the undergrowth and the wooded area close by and stood and watched. They said, we really don't know whether they were agents of the government or not, but you're always being observed there. But at any rate, they came back to town, the tour group left, and they all had to leave. But here's the word that come out of that. The next English class that Brother Lee had, they had to be low key, but this taxi driver, Brother Lee asked him to tell them what had happened to him. And he just lifted his hands and he began to say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Began to speak in other tongues, and they said, all over that class, they lifted their hands just as much as they dared, began to repeat it after him, hallelujah. And in just a matter of a few minutes, there was 12 or 14 of those precious people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God's reaching for the whole world. Hallelujah. He said that he was a propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. God was reaching clear around the world when he went to Calvary. Somebody said, they asked the Lord, how much do you love me? And said he put his arms out and said, I love you this much. And then he died. Hallelujah. 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 There's nothing wrong with the sacrifice. There's nothing wrong with the blood. There's blood and to spare. I was so privileged to get to be where I was for a few days before Easter, traveling out across the Amazonian River Basin by float plane. Any of you know anything about aircraft? Brother Wiley, Brother Jerry does, little 172 Cessna float plane. Three men and all their gear. Sometimes the river current was the thing that gave us enough push to make the thing plane out. And we got caught in a lull between two weather systems. And just dead air We run that thing and run it and run it, and it never could get up and plane. We thought, well, we're here. But after a while, there was a little bit of headwind. We was able to get up. But anyway, the Amazonian River Basin, the state of Amazonas is 2.5 times the state of, as large as the state of Texas. Brazil is bigger than the continental United States. Put another Texas with it, and it's still larger. That'll give you an idea of the size of that country. 142 million people, 47.5% of the land mass of South America is in Brazil. Flying across that jungle, 152 different varieties of wood per acre. Try that on. Brother Corto spoke about the Louisiana having rivers and lots of water, and we do, but these are creeks. We were back in a place called Parana River. Of course, you know what the Parana fish are. Parana River dumps into the Purus River. And there, at the junction of those two rivers, little preacher boy built a church. He built it out of bark. He took poles and drove them in the ground, took other poles and tied them across with vines, and then he peeled bark off of trees. And he secured that on that framework, and that became his floor. And his walls was some more bark, and the roof was thatch. And that little church, which is a church home for 37 or 38 people, would be about half the size of this platform maybe. And they filled it up. And everybody came to church by boat. There was one, the first boatload that arrived, they came back in there, a man and his wife and three children. She was probably 6 months pregnant with their fourth child. Everybody sitting as still as the Rock of Gibraltar, because that little narrow boat wouldn't have taken much. I saw the pictures, and I showed them the other day to my family, and my daughter said, "Can you imagine those children being that still?" I said, "They know they've got to. You don't jump around from the back seat to the front seat when the boat's not but 24 inches wide and the river's full of piranha fish. You just don't do it like that." But back at that point, I wish I had time. Maybe tomorrow we will. I don't know. But they got to singing. They don't sing at quite the tempo that we sing. But they were singing, "He's coming soon, he's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon." They don't have electric lights. They had little sticks nailed up there. They had candles. This young man, who's the pastor, gathers rubber from the wild rubber trees. The owner of that land owns the river for 150 miles and all of the watershed on either side. And you work for him or you don't work. And that's where he's built a church. And we slept in hammocks and ate by candlelight. When we arrived, they fed us food that they wouldn't eat themselves. I was glad they had candlelight. I sat and cried. I don't really care all that much about chicken, but brother, I enjoyed that. And I knew I was eating food that they couldn't afford to feed themselves. A few miles, just a little trip up the river. One of the believers, she'd had to move a few days before. She'd taken her little baby about 2 years old down the river and washed her. They have a board probably about the size of the top of this pulpit, and she'd given her a bath and set her on the board, and a snake come out of the river and attacked the child and tried to pull it in, and the mother grabbed a stick and began to beat the snake, and so the snake left the child and began to take the mother. And the only thing that saved her was she knew to call on the name of Jesus. And she called on the name of Jesus. And I'm talking about snakes that wrap their tail around the roots of trees and pull cows into the river. And the name of Jesus was the thing that saved that woman. They hunted for the snake and couldn't find it. Apparently, it seemed to know when her husband was around. When he was gone, it would make its appearance looking for a meal, and they finally had to move. But I'm telling you all of that to tell you what condition some people are trying to live for God under. And they love the Lord. When I walked across that bark floor about 3 feet off the ground, and I thought, brother, if that thing holds up with my 200 plus and the missionary, he weighed more than I did, and Dad, and I watched that. It was just like walking on a trampoline, just up and down, up and down, up and down. I said, if that thing holds up, it's sure going to surprise me. Not only did it hold up, they shouted, they jumped up and down. That little woman that was expecting a child within probably 2 or 2.5 months, she got to jumping, fell on the floor, jumped back. I thought, sure, she's going to, and it was a 45-minute ride by air to get to the hospital. I said, oh, Lord. She survived it in good fashion. I'm telling you, God was reaching for the whole world. Hallelujah. And the same Spirit of God that makes us jump and run the aisles and speak in tongues and clap our hands and get happy and sweat run down our face and all of the rest of it. I'm telling you, it's what God intended for the entire world to get to experience. Hallelujah. Jesus knew that was the purpose of His coming into the world. Revelation 13:8 speaks of Him as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John the 12th chapter and the 27th verse, Jesus said, what shall I say? Shall I ask the Father to take me? He said, it was for this cause that I came into the world. He knew why He came, but He didn't back up from it. I'm wondering if we know why we're here tonight. I'm wondering if we've got a real glimpse of what God has entrusted into our hands and what He's expecting out of us with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you a few things to help your thinking. $1 million. Brother Pipkin drew us a word picture about that. 4 billion people are alive on the face of the earth tonight. Probably close to half of them between the two nations of India, who Brother Kodathu represents, and China. If you lined up all the Chinese today and marched them 6 abreast into the ocean, you'd never run out of Chinamen. They'll reproduce faster than they'll die. And we're talking in terms of a few paltry millions. Humanity shoulder to shoulder would reach around our world about 30 times. And if you got in your car and started driving past that line of humanity that we are committed to try to reach, you drive 10 hours a day, 50 miles an hour, it would take you more than 4 years. And when you got through, that line would be 20,000 miles longer than it was when you started. Just by reproduction. The people that have lived and died, people that are on the face of the earth tonight, let me give you this and think about it. The 4 billion plus, if God began at the dawn of creation and spent 1 minute with each person in judgment, and the Bible says we're all going to stand before the Lord. But if He only spends 60 seconds with each person, you and I will stand in line 6,400 years waiting for our turn. And God was reaching for the whole world. I wonder if we are. I wonder if we are. I wonder if we realize there's plenty of blood. The blood of Christ is sufficient to save us for all of eternity. You don't have to worry about the blood. It's good. Hallelujah. Sinless blood will never die. And since it won't die, it will last for eternity. And for as long as there is a need, there'll be enough blood. And can I tell you that there's plenty of Holy Ghost to go around? I want you to, everybody's got the Holy Ghost. Would you just lift your hand? Now, just kind of look around there. Just take a moment, look around. See all the hands that are lifted. But did you know that with all of those that have got the Holy Ghost, it did not diminish the supply of the Holy Ghost? Not one bit. There's still as much Holy Ghost as there was before there was ever a person filled. So we don't have to worry about whether God's going to pour out His Spirit or whether He's not. It's not going to run out. There's plenty of Holy Ghost to go around. Hallelujah. And then the needs are there. Oh, how great they are. I looked at those Philippine faces and something in my heart said, I'd sure like to go see them again, Brother Smith. And I looked at Mexico and Brother Wiley, I'm late on coming back. I know that. But can I tell you the needs are everywhere you go. If you go to Latin America, they're there. And if you go to Central America, they're there. Read your newspaper. We're running out of time in Central America. It won't be long until Castro and the where you want to look. Anywhere you want to look. Oh God, help us tonight. I watched the buzzards fly over Manaus. Manaus is a city of over 1 million. The buzzards that fly are their sanitation crew. And they're literally there by the thousands. People don't have what we have. But we're not talking about Americanizing people now. We're talking about giving them the gospel. We could never clothe them, and we could never feed them, but we can give them a hope. When this life is over, they can walk streets of gold right alongside you and I. And they, for the first time, can experience luxury. They'll never have it here. I watch people go buy cold drinks. Oh, Brother Petrick, I watched them hand me a cold drink of Coca-Cola or Guaraná, which is a Brazilian drink. And I knew that some of them for their whole life would never get to drink one. I felt like David when he poured the water out from the well of Bethlehem. He said, oh, I just can't drink it. One woman come in off of the streets in one little town. Police chief in one place is also the pastor. That's a pretty good combination. They don't give him any trouble for making too much noise. But I watched one woman. She just came in off the street. She heard American missionaries was going to be there, and she came. She didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was, but God gloriously filled her with the Holy Ghost. But you know, we was asking some today about the Holy Ghost, and they said, well, the first evidence is you speak in tongues, but then you manifest the fruits of the Spirit. The next morning, the first knock on the door of that little old pastor's humble home was that same woman off the streets. Her chickens had laid 2 eggs, and she wanted to give one to each one of the missionaries. I'm going to tell you, that was worth $1,000. Hallelujah. It's the same Holy Ghost, and it's the same power of God, and it's the same blood, and it's the same gospel, and it'll do the work if we'll put our dollars out there and let people take it. I'm telling you, God was reaching for the whole world, church. Could you stand with me and let's love Him a little bit? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The apostle said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I don't want to belabor you, but I'd like to give you one last brief account. Out at the Piranha Church, there was an old grandmother. She didn't know how old she was. They'd finally figured out she was at least old enough to get old age pensions, so she was getting $33 a month. $33 in a land where inflation is running at 112%. She won the Holy Ghost that Saturday night. Somehow we weren't able to really strike the note of faith in her heart. We had church in town, 45 minutes flying time away. It would have been a day and more by the river because the river winds and turns and crooks and bends and doubles back. They don't have highways. Everybody travels by the waterways, except just in the cities, of course. Then Monday night, we were back at a rubber plantation. This is on the land of the man that owns 150 miles of the river and all the watershed on either side. And the Catholic priest made him promise many years ago there'll never be a church other than a Catholic church built on any of the land that you and your heirs own. So they couldn't have a church. But one of the believers out there on that plantation said, could I just build a room on my house and we worship in it? The owners kind of turned their heads the other way and said, we suppose that'll be all right. And so that old grandmother and 18 other people loaded up in a boat and came downriver 2 hours to get to be in that plantation service. It was 3 hours back upriver because it was going against the current. I don't have to tell you, she got the Holy Ghost. When you want it that bad, friend, God's going to respond. Hallelujah. She didn't know how old she was. She didn't have any of the world's goods. They were poor, but they were clean. But they had a heart and a soul that was yearning for God. And God honored that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if we'll put the machinery in motion, God's going to do His part because He was reaching for the whole world. I'm going to close with this. I'd like to sing that chorus again. Just a time or two and then whatever the brother may feel. At the cross, where I first saw the light. You can invest it in the work of God. Or you can let the Antichrist get it. I'd rather let the Lord have it, wouldn't you? I honestly mean this. I hope when the Lord comes, I've not accumulated $100 surplus. I don't believe you ought to beat your bills. I believe you ought to take care of your obligations. And I know we live in a different part of the world. And because if we don't provide this kind of building to reach the lost in our area, the church down the road that don't preach the truth will. And I realize that we've got to do some things that they don't have to do in other places. But I want to tell you something. You can't outgive God. Please don't do nothing because you can't do everything. Do something. Do something. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light.